From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Friday, July 7th. Coming up, we'll learn more about if Illinois will keep the same company to provide health care in its prisons throughout the state, despite allegations of substandard medical care. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Rockford is back on track to bring passenger rail to the city. Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco has more.
The new deal with Metra connects Rockford to Chicago with stops in Belvedere and Huntley. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the project is possible due to $275 million in rail improvements from the Rebuild Illinois Infrastructure Plan.
I couldn't be happier to announce that for the first time since 1981, we are bringing intercity passenger rail back to Rockford.
Metra will use the Milwaukee District West Line and relationships with the Union Pacific Railroad to extend passenger service beyond Elgin to reach Rockford. Service is expected to begin in 2027. Travel time is anticipated to be less than 2 hours between the two cities, with two round trips per day. Operations and maintenance agreements are still pending. I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
The Illinois State Museum's curator is traveling to Kenya next week for a ceremony to mark the return of 37 sacred artifacts. Dr. Brooke Morgan is meeting with members from the National Museums of Kenya and the Mijikenda, an ethnic group from the southern coast. The artifacts, known as vigongo, are 6-foot-tall wooden posts with faces and geometric shapes carved in them. They're made from trees sacred to the Mijikenda, and Morgan says they're believed to hold the spirits of deceased male elders.
We really need to look into how they were acquired and the fact that they, you know, maybe shouldn't have even been moved in the first place, regardless of whether art collectors thought that they had been, quote unquote, abandoned.
Morgan says the artifacts were stolen from villages, acquired by art dealers, and then donated to the museum in the 1980s. The Illinois tax on groceries returning at the beginning of this month is receiving some backlash. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar has more on what one lawmaker has to say.
The suspension of the Illinois grocery tax was meant to provide relief to consumers in the face of inflation. Illinois Senator Linda Holmes filed and voted for the act last year. She feels the criticism of its discontinuation is unwarranted.
It was fair that the 1 year that we'd put in there, saying that it was going to be a year, that it was allowed to end in the time frame that was allotted to it.
She says the suspension was always meant to last a year, and that the year relief was enough. Holmes says so far there are no plans for anything like this moving forward, and doesn't necessarily think there needs to be. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed decades of precedent and effectively ended the practice of race-conscious admissions practices at public and private universities across the country. But as Illinois Newsroom's Owen Henderson reports, schools still say they'll work to build diverse student bodies.
The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign was one of many universities that previously considered race when admitting students. University of Illinois Executive Vice President Nick Jones says this ruling just takes away a tool from a system that already struggles to address racial disparities.
So clearly, even using affirmative action and race as one of many factors in admissions decisions, we were still not where we need to be as an institution.
Illinois' population is about 18% Latino and 14% Black, but at UIUC, only about 13% of undergraduate students are Latino, and only 6% are Black. Jones says the university is already looking at considering factors like socioeconomic status to increase diversity among students. I'm Owen Henderson, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn more about Illinois' choice over how to provide health care in its prisons throughout the state. That story is next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Healthcare behind bars in Illinois comes with heavy financial and human costs. Since 2011, Illinois has paid Wexford Health Sources, a private company, well over $1 billion to provide medical care to people in the state's prisons. During that time, a federal judge determined the care was so poor it violated the U.S. Constitution, and an independent monitor has released reports documenting deaths from substandard medical care. Mary Dixon spoke with reporter Shannon Heffernan about the future of health care in Illinois prisons.
For the last decade, Illinois has paid the private company Wexford Health Sources more than $1 billion to provide medical care to people in the state's prisons. During that time, a federal judge determined the state's medical care in prisons was so poor it violated the U.S. Constitution. An independent monitor has recorded multiple deaths that were preventable. Now that Wexford's contract has expired, experts are worried the state won't make a change. WBEZ's Shannon Heffernan has been following healthcare in Illinois prisons and is here to explain. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
How about if you start by painting a picture of what healthcare has been like in Illinois prisons?
So, pretty objectively, it's been terrible. I'll throw out some numbers that paint a picture for you. About half of healthcare positions in the state are unfilled. Imagine trying to run a hospital with half its positions empty. Patients in need of dental fillings at one prison are on a 104-week wait list. And at least two patients in 2022 died, at least in part because of receiving improper medication. So those are the numbers. But keep in mind, all those numbers, they have stories of real people behind them. To give you an example of one, a man with mental illness told medical staff that he'd swallowed two plastic utensils and he needed them removed. And he complained that he wanted care, but instead of providing that care, the plastic remained in his body, which, of course, damaged his organs. He lost 24 pounds in a single month and died. So that's the kind of terrible care we're talking about when we talk about care in Illinois prisons.
So the health care is being provided by this company, Wexford Health Sources. What do we know about them?
They're a private health care company, and we asked them how much profit they make in a year. They wouldn't tell us. But we do know that that contract that you mentioned, it's worth $1.4 billion. Dollars. And they operate in other states. And some of those states have decided that the healthcare they were providing is so bad that they're not going to move forward with Wexford anymore. Like Florida has canceled their contract. I do think it's worth noting that there's other private healthcare companies that work in the prison and jail space. And all the ones I'm aware of have similarly bad reputation. So it's not like there's some magical unicorn of a company out there that does a good job. They all have kind of these reputations for providing substandard care to people.
Does it seem like there's any chance the state of Illinois is going to try doing this sort of thing?
Yeah, it's Illinois. Anything can happen. Weird stuff happens. But I have to say all the signs are not pointing towards them making a change. They put out a call for contracts, and it looks just the same as it did 10 years ago for the most part. And advocates tell us, you know, if you have this massive statewide contract, the only people who are going to be able to compete are these big private healthcare companies. That said, there are possible alternatives. We saw at one point it looked like the state was making a move to break the state into five different zones for its healthcare, and that would have allowed smaller entities like a public health care system, like a university, to provide health care. But they scrapped that plan, and now they have this massive statewide health care contract. So I don't expect that we're going to see a big change.
And what do corrections officials say about this? And what does their boss, J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, have to say?
Well, the short answer is not much. They haven't responded to most of our questions, neither the governor's office nor the Department of Corrections. What they have said is they went with this statewide contract because they wanted care to be consistent across the state. But they didn't tell us any moves they were making so that Wexford or a similar company wouldn't be the only people they had to choose from.
Shannon Heffernan is a criminal justice reporter for WBEZ. Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.
And finally, in your forecast, Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 83 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco, Mawa Iqbal, May Antar, Owen Henderson, Mary Dixon, and Shannon Heffernan. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.